Homegrown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Ceasefire over in Gaza. Local health officials say more than 410 people were killed in surprise Israeli airstrikes overnight. Former State Department Middle East envoy Aaron David Miller.
I think the main incentive, the main objective here is for the prime minister to keep his seat.
President Trump and Vladimir Putin set for a talk on ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Holly Williams.
President Trump says he'll discuss land and power plants with Vladimir Putin on their call today. Russia's occupying around 20% of Ukraine and has laid claim to even more.
After 9 months stuck in space, astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Wilson are set to splash down off the coast of Florida in a SpaceX capsule today. NASA's Ken Bowersox.
I'm looking forward to sitting across from them and hearing about their perception of how things went and all about their time on orbit.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state in Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private-approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
The Department of Public Instruction has unveiled a site to track federal funding impacts. Joanne Krulantz has more info.
The page provides real-time updates, critical information, and resources related to federal funding for public schools and libraries across Wisconsin. Available tools also include real-time updates on current funding cuts at the federal level and an interactive map to view data specific to your school district. Resources also include personalized flyers that highlight the effects of federal funding for each district. More information is available on DPI's website.
The spring election is just 2 weeks away on Tuesday, April 1st. A photo ID is required in order to cast your ballot. If you don't have an approved photo ID, such as a driver's license or state ID, you can get one at the Wisconsin DMV. Start online at wisconsindmv.gov or call your local DMV during office hours. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great day out there. Mel and I are going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We got some other fun stories we're going to be getting to as well. But we kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our new friend, Jeremy Schmidt from Sand Slicer. Jeremy and Sand Slicer are new members of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We appreciate them being a part of this community and adding to this community and joining us to put up with my silly questions and hang out a little bit. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks again for being here, Jeremy. I appreciate the time. I want to tell you right away that I had the chance over the weekend to look at the product, look at some of the videos of the sand slicer, and my only thought was, gosh, where was this when I was a kid? When I first moved out here, I lived in Rome and in the Cove, and this was something that my papa and I would go out there and try to get some of these weeds out of there, trying to make it look a little more beautiful, a little more better accessible, and all these things. Could have really used this, man. This is a pretty cool invention. For those that don't know what this is, let's tell people what the sand slicer is right away.
Okay. So the sand slicer is a tool that is for shorelines that allows people to remove weeds of all varieties, including those, you know, problematic invasive species we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. And what makes it really different from other products out there is this pulls them out by the root. And like I've mentioned to many Wisconsinites so far, anybody who's, you know, had a garden, they know that weeds have to be pulled out by the root. My mom, you know, helped with that slogan. So big thanks to her.
Very cool. Very cool.
And so you can do this from the shoreline. You don't have to actually get in the water?
That's correct. So right now I am working on producing the extensions myself. However, I did make my handle compatible with extensions that are sold by, I'd like to really call them a sister company, a company called Beach Roller out of Minnesota.
Very cool.
Okay. You know, this would have fixed the, I have to just quick share a story because I, as a kid, I worked for a cleaning and painting business my mom had, and we had to pull weeds out of this lady's pond. And I actually had to get in the water and pull out the weeds by hand. And I stuck my hand in, and when I pulled it out, it was covered in baby leeches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I danced around on the shore trying to get them off, and they were flinging everywhere, and they were stuck to our legs, and it was horrifying.
Yeah.
So this sounds like a really nice thing that I should have had and used then.
So the sand slicer not only is helpful and helpful to your area, it can help you from childhood trauma. It can also help there. That's it really is a wonderful device. And forgive me. I don't know how else to word this. It's simple in its process. It doesn't take a whole lot to really figure out how to work this thing.
Yes. I mean, what I enjoy about it is the beauty in its simplicity. When I made the prototype, my dad and I were on his shore, and he loves to tell how I basically Huck Finned him to do it himself.
That's a great terminology. That's great.
But I mean, the fact that a 78-year-old, you know, man is able to use it just as easily as, you know, a 20-year-old, it definitely shows that it's an easy-to-use product for people.
It's a really good point, especially a lot of our population is in that age range and on the coastline. It's a really good thing to be able to mention there. You mentioned the prototype. Where did this idea come from?
Well, so not getting too much into it, but since that's another time we'll chat about it, but I started a summer business, and at the end of the summer, throughout the summer, really, I was trying to figure out something better. And by the end of the summer, around mid to late August, I created the prototype and then continued to, you know, figure out how I can bring it to, you know, commercial.
So necessity is the mother of invention.
Exactly. It always is.
One of my favorite quotes. With that being said, we are kind of in the early stages of this company and everything. So you guys are just kind of building this right now.
Yes. I've made 10 so far. Mm-hmm. I've sold now 16, so I'm in the hole a little bit. But producing 50 right now. And they should be ready here in about several more weeks. Utilizing my supply chain is all here in central Wisconsin so far.
That's great.
Yeah, and that is my ultimate goal. If I can keep everything in Wisconsin, certainly within the U.S., but definitely my priority is, you know, central Wisconsin and Wisconsin manufacturing.
You know, Jeremy, one of our sponsors and long time, we've been working with Culver's forever. We love Culver's. Anybody in Wisconsin's going to love Culver's. One of the things that we don't really talk about, but we know going to a Culver's is, well, it's going to take a little longer. It's going to take a little longer because it's worth it. We're buying local. We're supporting a local business. And
fresh,
we know,
never frozen.
Exactly. We know what we're ordering and everything. When it comes to products like this, especially local and supporting local like we're doing with this, we do also want you to keep in mind that it is a company that is just in the beginnings here and everything. So some of these, you know, you order something, it might take a little bit to get there. We get in this kind of process because of some companies that, oh, it's supposed to be here within 10 minutes. You know, that's not the case. And especially when it comes to products that are really well made. You know, you just mentioned there that you say you're behind. I think you're doing good, man. I think that you're pretty on point with this, and it's to be expected. If I'm buying one of these, I expect that it might take a little bit to get here, and I'm okay with that because I know you're going to make it right.
Thank you. Yeah, and eventually, of course, I want to be able to have inventory, and one of my longer-term plans is to get it onto retail shelves, even ideally maybe even like Quick Trip and Ace Hardware, since those are, you know, local companies that will be a lot around a lot of lakes. But yes, I do kind of look at it right now, you know, to have the Sears mentality of old, of yes, placing the order and having to wait, you know, maybe even a couple months right now, but I'm working on shrinking that timeline.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. When it comes to using the sand slicer, I want to touch on that a little bit because the process is really cool to me, but also very simple. And I get to say wiggle jiggle, which any chance to say that on the air, I have to take it, man. I have to take that.
That is one of the many reasons why when it was, you know, came into my mind, I was like, oh, I'm using wiggle jiggle. Yeah, that just has to be it.
In a different world, I could see that being the name of it.
It's commercial gold.
Sand slicer is a great name. It's a great name. And what you do is you place the sand slicer in the water. You give it that little wiggle jiggle to get in there. And as you push it, the sand slicer out, pull it back in the same way and watch the weeds and the roots come up.
That's it. Yep.
That's all you got to do. Like that, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the time that it took to get this prototype hammered down, how long did that take?
Well, you know, I've been told by a couple people that it's not something I should share, but I honestly have to tell you, it went rather fast. From, oh my goodness, I have this is the idea I want to, you know, craft out, from sketch to prototype, about 4 days.
Awesome. Wow, is that cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is great.
So, yes, it was, you know, when the Lord gives you inspiration, you just have to act on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury wrote Bohemian Rhapsody on the way home from the opera in 5 minutes. I mean, it just happens sometimes.
There you go.
You know, sometimes good ideas just happen that way. And it's also got to be one of those moments, and I'm not asking, this is more rhetorical, but once you finish this, you get this product right, and Jeremy was nice enough to bring one into the building and everything, and it's just awesome. Once you finish that, you take a step back and look at it, you got to be like, how did nobody else think? Like, this is such an awesome product. It's such a smart product. And I have no doubt that this is going to be successful, that you're going to have a good run with this. I'm looking forward to seeing more and more of what you develop with it, and how our local businesses out here support it, and you partnering, as you mentioned, with the sister companies and other things like that. When it comes to the people that helped you get here and do this, Jeremy, I know you had some thank yous wanted to get in.
I did, yes. Thank you so much. And first, definitely want to thank God. This has been one heck of a journey. My parents, and excuse me as I choke up a little bit, but I also do definitely want to do a shout out to Adams County Economic Development. They gave me a startup grant of $2,500, so thank you to the board and to them for helping, you know, get that going. And also, you know, you had mentioned the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber, but a huge thanks to all the women that work so hard there. Stacy, Promise, Holly Ann, Laura, and Lacey. So it's just been a joy working with all of them, and they've definitely helped this business grow. So thank you.
Oh, excellent. We are big fans of our chamber over there. We're big fans of businesses to put back into our communities. We encourage that, to buy local, support local. You are doing that by being a chamber member. You are doing that by being a local and doing this. And we're going to support you the whole way, man. And I appreciate what you shared in the creation of this. And part of the reason I asked is out of curiosity, to be honest, but also one of the jobs that we are trying to do here is not only support you, but encourage the next Jeremy, to encourage the next person out there that, well, oh, I could never make this product happen or anything. I'm sure you might have had moments of doubt. Here we are. You know, and you're selling these, and you're becoming a profitable business already, and only going to get more successful. So we want to encourage others out there to be similar to that.
Thank you.
And what I heard is that you've got 50 coming out soon, and 10 of them are spoken for. So get your pre-orders in, people.
Yes.
There's 40 of them available soon.
Jeremy, if people do want to find out more, if they'd like to reach out to you or purchase a sand slicer, how can they do that?
They can go to www.sand-slicer.com, and it's got some videos of it in action as well. So thank you very much for, you know, checking it out.
Yeah, it's a really cool website, everybody. I cannot encourage you enough to check this out. And buy local, support local, support our friends over at Sand Slicer. And get used to Jeremy, because he's going to be back. We're going to have another time to hang out with Jeremy here and talk again. And we, not just with the other business, but with the Sand Slicer in general, Jeremy, love to have you back in a couple months or something like that. See how things are going. You know, kind of do a follow-up story, if you will, with you and the Sand Slicer.
I'd be honored. Thank you.
Great. We'll talk again real soon, man, and thank you again for joining us.
Thanks.
Again, that website is sand-slicer.com, sand-slicer.com. Be sure to find that there, and be sure to bookmark that webpage, everybody.
Wiggle jiggle.
Wiggle jiggle. We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squad about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squad about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squad about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Big shout out to Jeremy Schmidt for joining us Sand Slicer. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Big thank you to our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce setting that up. Remember, when you become a chamber member, that is part of the deal. You get to join us for 15 minutes, hang out on the air here for a little bit, and promote your business.
Or your product.
Encourage you to be a part
Tell
of the chamber.
Tell your story.
Find out more. Visit our chamber and become a member and get on the air with us here. And again, bookmark that webpage, sand-slicer.com, sand-slicer.com. Getting into some entertainment news. Yesterday, Jelly Roll won Country Artist of the Year at the iHeart Music Awards.
He
was not able to be in attendance, but he sent a video and he said, "What up, y'all? I really wish I was there. I am absolutely honored. I was thinking about last year and I won Best New Country Artist to come back this year and win Best Country Artist of the Year is unbelievable in every way."
That's really cool.
He was in the category with him. Kane Brown, Lainey Wilson, Chris Stapleton, Luke Combs, all in the nominees. Jelly wasn't able to be there because he is currently on tour with his Beautifully Broken tour. He's in Canada right now. His story just gets more and more interesting to me. He's one of these artists. I will not lie to you guys. I don't have a bunch of his music in my, you know, playlist or anything like that. My dad actually listens to more Jelly Roll than I do. but him, the human being, like that's the interesting thing to me about him. I find him as a person very interesting.
Yeah, his journey has been really interesting.
Yeah, I want to make it clear here. I think he's an amazing musician and a great singer and songwriter. Really good songwriter. I think he might be a better songwriter than singer in some ways. Just more so, just being honest with the type of music I listen to normally. I don't normally get into a lot of it, but his story gets me into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And that list of people he was up against, that's, I mean, winning in that regard, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, that's great. Good for him.
We go from hip-hop, we go from country to hip-hop here, and this beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, it hits these peaks and these moments and everything, and just when I think it's over, something else happens. The interesting thing about it was, for a while there, it just seemed like Kendrick Lamar kept on doing things that would bring it back to it. But the last couple of things have been Drake bringing it up, which is odd because he's the one that lost, and lost horribly. In fact, I don't believe I've ever seen somebody lose more, worse, in a rap beef. Rap beef's been going on forever, and more times than not, it's something that is built behind the scenes of, hey, let's help each other build each other's career up.
Right.
It goes back to rivalries in general, and musicians learn this, well, actually from sports and locally, actually, because for those that don't understand or don't know this or anything, George Halas and Vince Lombardi were best friends. They were great friends. They talked all the time. They had lunch together many times. And both of them happened to be in charge of franchises, the Acme Packers and the Decatur Staleys, or the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Okay. The Green Bay Packers were struggling. They were a small market, even back then they were a small market compared to now, where they are the smallest major franchise in all of sports. But they were struggling, and they didn't know how to get people. Not just the Packers were struggling; football was struggling in general, and trying to figure out how do we get people to come to these games. Now, I'm not saying this is the one thing that did it, but I am saying it's the major thing that did it. And all of a sudden, this rivalry being built between Green Bay and Chicago, and it starts in those early days, and they build it in newspaper writing and sports columnists and everything, and slowly it begins to build into this great rivalry to where we are today, where I believe it is the greatest rivalry in sports. This is similar to music, where a lot of times, especially in the early days of hip-hop, when you're trying to get people to give this music in this genre a chance, okay, LL Cool J, one of the more popular rappers, is going to have a beef with this guy, and I'm going to build him up while also building my career back up. And so on. What happened between Kendrick Lamar and Drake is not as much a rap beef as Lamar really don't like him. Like,
they have an actual beef.
They have, yeah. And to be fair, Kendrick believes that this man is a pedophile. And that changes the whole narrative of all this. So all that being said, I bring all this up because this is just a little crazy to me. Universal, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar's record company is seeking to have this lawsuit dismissed that Drake brought up. It's one thing to lose. It's another to whine about it and then to cry about it to sue over it. So Universal is seeking to throw the lawsuit out and dismiss it. In the court filing, they say that Drake is only suing because, quote, he lost a rap battle that he provoked and sued his own record label in a misguided attempt to salve his wounds. Now, that may seem like, if you're posting that, that's one thing. That's an actual court document. Like, that's an actual court they're talking about that. Like, that's just, I've never heard of a beef like this in entertainment being taken to this level. But this is where we are in today's day and age. And I, like, Drake just brought out a new album and people are listening to it and everything. And I'm like, man, I don't know how you can do that. Like, when these, there's certain lines in the sand for me. I don't listen to R. Kelly anymore. Like, I admit, when I was a kid, I listened to some R. Kelly and everything. I don't listen to him anymore. Like, there, certain things, I just don't understand how artists survive it. That one is a tough one.
I think for some, it's because people don't pay attention necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, if they just listen to the music and they like the music, they don't know what else is going on. But
And being honest, I mean, teach their own. There's few things I'm going to get bent out of shape about anymore, and one of them is music. I'm not going to be a music gatekeeper or tell people what they should or shouldn't listen to. I just think that it's certain, there's a big difference to me. Like, I don't like Maroon 5. I don't like the way Adam Levine sings or whatever. But that's not really about him as a person so much as it is just I don't like the music.
Taste.
I think there's a difference when the actual artist we're talking about is a scumbag. Right. You know, that makes it a little bit tougher. But I also understand what you're saying, that a lot of people just don't even get, they just want to hear music, you know, which is, you know, teach their own. Something that I am looking forward to doing over the next couple of months is picking Melissa's brain every once in a while about Noises Off, the final production of the 2025 season for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater as they celebrate 50 strong years. Melissa is, of course, the director of this show, and you guys had your first rehearsal last night, Mel?
Yes, we did. We had our read-through last week and then some busy work on Friday, but last night was our first actual rehearsal. We started blocking. We have a rough set already, which is just fantastic because, I mean, the set is such a big part of this show.
I'm not jealous. I don't know where that came. No, that is really cool. Wow.
I mean, yeah, the set is almost another character in the show.
It really is.
And Jeff Friday and his crew have done a fantastic job because the set, yeah, there's multiple pieces. It has to turn around. I mean, there's just so much involved in that. I am already super, like, just thrilled and impressed by this cast. We had our first night of blocking, and they did absolutely fantastic. So I can't wait to get to rehearsal tonight and keep going and keep working. And we are crafting what is going to be a hilarious, fun, fantastic show. So get your tickets.
Part of what we're going to do here in talking about this, like we have done with Seth's show and some others and everything, is not only promoting the show and giving people kind of a little bit of the making of kind of a creation a little bit that people love so much nowadays, getting a look behind the curtain, literally look behind the curtain. But also want to remind everybody out there, if you've ever been on the fence about being a part of theater and hearing how... Nothing is necessarily simple, and also nothing is splitting the atom here either. It is something that is so much fun to be a part of the creative process with all this.
Mm-hmm. And we have some new members that are involved in this show. One of our cast members has never been on stage before. For one of them, it's their very first lead role. Wow. So, you know, this is exciting, and it's exciting to help guide them as they develop their characters and they learn about theater and they learn what blocking is and what, you know, how to do blocking. For those that don't know, it's the movements that you do on stage, where you stand when you deliver your lines and where you move to next and how you interact with your other characters on stage. So that's the process we're going to be going through for this week and all of next week. And I'm going to be harping on them to memorize, and get off their books so they can get their books out of their hands so that I can help them to develop their characters.
Absolutely. And certainly understandable to have that part of that set already done, even with how ambitious this set is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to help so much.
Cannot wait. Encourage you to get your tickets right now at wrctheater.org. Get on over there, pick up those tickets, and bookmark that page because you're going to be going over there again. We got our Silver Foxes that have stuff coming up, and of course our youth, it's the productions from Hopo and summer. Everything. So many great things. Yeah. WRCtheater.org. Go head on over there, everybody. And keep in mind that our team is hard at work right now crafting the newest WFHR newsletter that'll be premiering this Thursday at noon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. It comes out at Thursdays at noon. You can sign up at WFHR.com. This is a free newsletter. We focus on Wisconsin news, central Wisconsin as much as possible. And then also just, you know, things that I feel our listeners and our readers would want to know about. So if there are things that you would like to see in our newspaper, reach out to me. You can reach out through our website or melissa.k@civicmedia.us. We do focus a lot on local sports and high school sports. Michael Comer does a fantastic job every week with his article. We've got Laura and Beth who also contribute and Chuck to the newsletter. So I appreciate the team that we have and the focus we're able to put on local news, local happenings.
And we're getting to the point, too, where Melissa is even, she doesn't have to just take any content we give her and everything. I've been trying for weeks to get a Simpsons article into the newsletter, and Melissa keeps telling me it's local, James, that's not a local story. So she really means it, everybody. She is sticking to her guns. It is going to be local.
James, I've given you some suggestions and ideas of how you could tie it to local. I really just need you to come back with a little better editing, okay?
Got to work on that. I do need a lot more editing. Yeah. 20 pages is a little
potential.
Much. It's got potential. Thank you.
Well, that too. You really need to keep it under a four-minute read, please.
Get to WFHR.com right now, everybody. Sign up for that newsletter. We'll have a new one for you noon on Thursday. And a big thank you to everybody who contributes to that newsletter. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Get to our news, sports, and partner break. We'll come back and have some more fun. When we get back, Melissa and I are going to be talking about, where is that? First Gen Beta babies are here, and not everyone is liking the names, or the name Gen Beta. The name Gen Beta, they're not a big fan of it, so we're going to talk about that.
Okay, yeah, let's.
When we come back on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Healthy People Wood County reminds us about the importance of National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. 60% of high school seniors believe that occasional marijuana use is risky. This is according to the 2023 Monitoring the Future survey. This is a notable shift in perception from youth compared to the previous year. Underage marijuana use can interfere with brain development and increase the risk of mental health challenges. It can also impair cognitive functions like memory, attention, and decision-making. Using marijuana at a young age is associated with a higher likelihood of future substance use disorders. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services tells families and teachers to keep an eye on the mental health of their kids and students as they return from spring break. Lisa Hale has more.
According to health officials, self-harm incidents with kids between the ages of 10 and 19 tend to increase following a return from a long school break or during transition periods. They're reminding families and teachers to look out for signs that kids and students may be struggling with their mental health. They're also reminding residents about the 988 Mental Health Crisis Hotline.
As the closely watched Wisconsin Supreme Court election approaches, the Democratic National Committee is expected to announce its earliest ever new election cycle investment. The early move comes as the race between liberal-backed Judge Susan Crawford and conservative-backed Judge Brad Schimmel sees record investment, with more than $59 million already spent in the race. The DNC plans to fund phone banks to connect with voters, assist ground operations, and mobilize thousands of volunteers across the state. There's a blood drive today in Wisconsin Rapids. You can donate at the former East Junior High School from 10 to 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip, playing five different teams out west over the next 10 days. Tonight, they face the Golden State Warriors. College basketball, while Wisconsin and Marquette get ready for March Madness later this week, the Badger football team's spring practices are underway in Madison. Head coach Luke Fickell talked about the team's offense with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a lot of new players.
Obviously, day one, I think most important thing is efficiency to what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, there's a lot of new offense. I mean that in people. I mean that in just, you know, making sure we understand how we got to do things together. I think we're a little bit further along than, you know, I've really kind of spent a lot of time in football the last month and a half, 2 months, with just some walkthroughs and things, not just training and things like that, but doing a lot of football. And that's going to be real important to us.
That's the Badgers football coach, Luke Fickell, with Sports Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know-Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know-Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read, all men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics." They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, don't miss our weekly Climate Check report with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30, and at 7:30, our homeroom segment on the value of public schools in our state.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you're having a great day out there. It's been a good one here. Let's go ahead and dive into a interesting topic right now, and it comes to us from the Wall Street Journal. Did you know that Gen Alpha isn't the youngest generation anymore? Did you know there was a Gen Alpha? January 1st.
Do you care about the names for these generations?
Yes, just as valid of a question. January 1st marked the start of the Gen Beta, people born between 2025 and 2039. And not everyone is really wild about the name. The Wall Street Journal just ran this headline yesterday. A new generation is here. Its name is already an insult. Beta is the second letter in the Greek alphabet, so it makes sense we'd go with it. But it's also slang for someone who is passive or, you know, that. Mm-hmm. As a side note, I don't believe that there are actually alpha males. I don't believe that is an actual thing. I think there are a lot of men who think they are alpha males, but I don't believe there is an actual alpha male. I don't believe that is an actual thing other than in the animal kingdom. That's just my opinion. I'll move on.
Yeah, the animal kingdom comes to mind with that.
Yeah,
me.
Animal kingdom, sure. Human beings, not so much.
Not the same thing.
Any sort of alpha male I've ever seen or been around could not come across as more of a weak human being to me. Like, that's just me saying. A researcher in Australia named Mark McCriddle coined the term Gen Alpha and Gen Beta. He says there's nothing wrong with them and that the system makes sense. The next generation would be Gamma, then Delta, and so on. But some people don't love the idea of their kid being called a beta for their whole life. Gen Alpha uses it as an insult a lot, so it's like we're kind of, it's kind of like the OK Boomer thing.
Yeah.
It's not too late to go with a different name if people agree on something else, so should we? One idea that they've been tossing around is Generation AI. Don't know how that's any better. one real quick thing here. Like our generation and the generations before us and everything, Melissa, I feel like we kind of got lucky on this one. Like the names aren't so bad. It feels like they're running out of names.
Well, I don't even know what the names are, right? Like, what are they? Gen X, Gen Z, Gen Millennials? Like, I don't even know what they are, James. Mm. Every time it's mentioned, I have to look it up. I don't know what generation I'm in.
Well, you know, and the only reason this is a thing is because we make it a thing.
Right. Why, like, do we got to label it?
This isn't really something that is important in the course of, you know, human society or anything like that. It's not as if, you can't apply for this job because you're from this generation, or you're from this generation, so it makes you less likely for this or whatever.
That's ageism.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Discrimination.
That's what we're doing here, essentially. And the idea, where this, a lot of this stems from, is just petty. Of my generation had it better, or my generation did this right, and blah, 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 blah. We always pick on the younger generation, the older generations, and I feel like all this does is add to that.
In some ways, I agree with that. And I think it's also just something that's used by media as a way to group and to label groups of people for whatever purpose benefits them. It doesn't help us at all.
And I want to be completely honest with everybody. I did a little homework on this one, but I didn't get a chance to dive into this as much as I'd like. And this Mark McCriddle, this researcher in Australia who coined these terms, I don't know that much about him. But from what I could find, I also don't know why he gets to do this.
why is it up to him?
Maybe I'm way off here or not, but shouldn't the generation itself choose the name? Shouldn't they be able to choose
everybody
what name?
Everybody gets a vote.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't. I feel like it's just one guy who decided to name this thing, and we're just gonna go ahead and go with it. Like, we don't have to do that. If this generation 2025 to 2039 wants to be the purple generation, fine. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't whatever they want to call themselves. I don't know. It's all silliness to me anyway.
Generation Earth.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds like a good one right there. I like that. One thing that does bother me a little bit about this, too, is I do actually think that it'd be kind of like an interesting part of things when we're telling the story of human history. The generations, this generation from 2025 to 2039, whatever. I think that it's kind of interesting if we tell it like it really is. Like saying the actual years so people know more. What Melissa was saying before is not even knowing the names, but I bet you could guess, you know, generations. Like, hey, this is the not names I'm not talking about, but like, okay, this year from this year is this generation. This year from this year is this generation. Mm-hmm. Us knowing that more, I think, would be a lot more beneficial than knowing Gen Alpha or Generation X or any of these things.
And also, why is it... What is that even? I don't math. Is that 14 years?
Yeah, about
2025
that.
2025 to 2039?
Yeah, I don't know why it's... Yeah, I don't know why that...
Why is it 14 years?
Yeah, that part hasn't been played out or, spelled out for me either.
Right. That seems like an odd amount of time.
Yeah. Because I would think that it's every 10 years, I would think.
Right. But even... Why is that?
Yeah, no, right. Good point. Yeah. My brain just instinctively did that, but you're right. Why that way? And
why don't you break it up by like quarters? Okay, so 2020 to 2025. That makes sense.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense to me than to say it. Yeah.
And we can just keep track of it then.
Mm-hmm.
And I get with them, you know, like he's wanting to use the Greek alphabet. Sure. Who uses the Greek alphabet besides scholars and historians?
Yeah, I might as well use Latin.
Sororities.
That's it. End of list. Like, nobody else is doing
pretty
that.
Pretty much, especially in America.
Let's just go ahead and name every generation after Roman numerals, too. We'll just do that.
No, the Super Bowl has the corner on that market,
so.
James.
I suppose so. Yeah, it does. And I feel like I'm doing this way too much today, and I apologize, but I say this because I think it might be an unpopular opinion, but the reason I'm actually going through and saying it is because I don't think it's that unpopular. I'm a little tired of the dumbing down of things. I feel like that's what we do with this stuff. What we're talking about here, about actually having a conversation of what is a generation and some of that, people don't want to seem to do that. They just want to label it and move on. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it so much more simpler for them. It's a big part of what bothers me about news nowadays. Mm-hmm. And how people just read headlines, or even, you know, some news outlets just give headlines and don't do a deep dive into articles or into mm-hmm. subjects and everything, because people just want, oh, give it to me quick. I want to move on. Right. Give it to me quick. Not everything is like that in life.
No.
And the best things in life take a little bit of time, take a little bit of work usually.
And they're complicated and complex, and you need to dig a little deeper into the issue at times.
And when you do that, no matter if it's a serious subject or a fun subject or a hobby or whatever, that's healthy for your brain. Your mm-hmm. brain wants that. It needs that. It's a workout for your brain, which can stave off Alzheimer's and dementia, among other things.
Right. And help with your memory and keep you young and interacting with life.
Push back on the dumbing down and the simplifying of things. I cannot encourage people enough to do that. There's plenty of things in life that are simple or need to be simple, and I get that. And we have those avenues. There's other times where you got to make your brain work a little bit, and that's all right.
Mm-hmm. I do have an idea, James, and part of this is when I was thinking about why we break up the generations the way they do with the years that we do, mm-hmm. Technology is a really good factor to include. And the fact that they're tossing around like generation AI, I kind of like that. We have like generation light bulb.
Yeah,
smartphone.
Yeah,
laptop. You know, like you could do it that way with technology, which would actually make a lot more sense to all of us.
Absolutely. Oh, I kind of like that.
Because we would be generation cell phone.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah, we would, yeah.
It debuted during, you know, when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
For our, like, what would be our kids, if I had kids, maybe theirs would be generation social media.
Mm-hmm. I like this, and I also like
the next one would be Generation AI.
Right, right. I like this also because it kind of tells a little bit of history with it while mm-hmm. you're at it, I think is kind of cool too. Oh, that's mm-hmm. it's a really good note, Melissa. I like
that. And there's going to be a Generation Fax Machine, Generation mm-hmm. Color TV, Generation Radio.
I think you're right about the cell phone, but I would have loved if we were Generation CD. I like the generation
CD. It could be a cluster of things because telephone, light bulb, I think those were kind of all around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so depending on, you could choose your moniker.
I like that. I do think, and I do come back to that, and I do think that the generation itself should choose the moniker. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with the idea of other generations choosing this, or some guy just sitting back in Australia decided. You know,
right.
I don't know.
But Generation X. What does it, don't even, what does it mean?
It sounds cool.
I don't know what years that means. I don't know what it's referring to.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
It doesn't tell you anything.
It tells me nothing.
It just gives people an excuse to say X. X is cool. I don't know. Like, I know what's cool. Like,
We try, James.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show. The Morning Show on WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
We are tracking a storm system that will bring rain tonight, tomorrow, with rain changing to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of snow with heavier amounts to the northwest. We'll keep an eye on that. Today, mostly cloudy. We'll get to around 55 for a high this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James with you to wrap up the show, take you to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. Want to send a big shout out to all of our listeners, the callers in, and of course, Jeremy Schmidt for joining us from Sand Slicer.
Yeah, it was nice to meet Jeremy.
Find out more at sand-slicer.com. Encourage you to do that. Buy local, support local, everybody. Got a That Ain't Right story to get to before we wrap up. A pizza place in Australia just divided the internet with its newest offering, oranges on pizza.
What? Oranges.
Oranges on pizza. The place is called Bubba Pizza. Great name.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
Great name. They have around 15 locations in Melbourne. They need them in Wisconsin. We're going to Bubba's. I love the phrase. Yeah. Their ham and orange pizza is basically a Hawaiian. They just subbed out pineapples and subbed in orange slices.
Okay.
And they are peeled.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
they did mention in the article.
I have to say that.
Yeah. They're doing this in part, they're being honest, to get a little pub. News sites in U.S. and U.K. are running the stories. Most people online think it's a little bit nasty, but there's other people who are giving it quite a bit of a chance.
Hmm. Yeah, I try it. Hmm. Why not?
I love both. I'm a big fan of oranges. I'm a big fan of pizza. I feel like I should try it. I don't know if I actually would.
Yeah, but James, you only eat one kind of pizza.
Yeah,
you're
right. You
don't even try any of the other amazing options on pizza.
You're so right. I am so boring when it comes to pizza. I really am. There's probably no food I'm more boring with than pizza. Yes.
Well, but let's say you had the option to just taste it. But you also had your regular pizza that you enjoy, pepperoni.
Yes.
And you didn't have to necessarily just eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you try it?
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Yeah. That's the perfect way to get me to try anything, is having that palate cleanser
like,
right there.
This isn't your meal.
Yes, yes.
But try it. Mm-hmm. Just give it a taste.
I almost anything I will try in that regard. It's just what I think what pressures me is when it's the main course, the only meal. And my first feeling is I don't want to hurt the cook's feelings. I don't want to insult like that. That's the first feeling I have with that stuff. So I'm already behind the eight ball when it comes to it. Mm-hmm. And that's on me. That's not on the cook or the food or anything like that. I completely, I get that. But I would try.
And then your inability to waste food.
Yes. Yes. This also comes into play. I've eaten a lot of meals that I have not enjoyed throughout my life, but I also have tried things that I ended up liking because of that. With like salmon, I would have never tried salmon, and I'm really glad I did because it's very good.
Oh, it is very good. One thing about ham, though, is that it is really good with acidic fruits.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah.
They do pair well together. I mean, think about your Easter ham that's got pineapple mm-hmm. slices on it, and you bake it in the oven. That the acid in the citrus helps break down the muscle. And I don't know if this is true about ham, but just with what little understanding I have of that, it does help tenderize the meat a little bit. But then the flavors also pair really well together. Mm. So I would try it. Yeah. I bet it's fantastic.
I was going to ask if this is something, because you seem a little more adventurous with your pizza.
I am very adventurous. My problems have to do with the fact that I can't eat dairy, and I have some issues with tomato because of the acid, and then also actually oranges with the acid. But, you know, barring the fact that my stomach hates me, I would love to eat it.
If it would just cooperate with you a little
bit. Right? Can we just get along, please? Can you just do what I want?
Just once. We take a look at our schedule here and some good things going on in our community. We've got some great stuff lined up for you throughout the day today. Stick around for Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg going to take you to the noon hour with nothing but fun and information.
Oh, yeah.
They do a great job. And we've got fun and information for you throughout the afternoon today, too. Join us from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. We've got Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacharin with us in part one.
Nice.
He'll be joined by Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We're going to go over the community survey and some other interesting things going on here in town.
Oh, good.
And we will be joined by our good friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties at 4:30. Ben Aberline is going to be joining us.
Oh, good. Nice.
Looking forward to hanging out with Ben, talking about the United Way.
Good update.
And then after that, in place of community stories today, we have our WFHR Spring Candidate Series continuing.
Nice.
We have Betsy, Jamie, Kathy, and Danielle joining us from the respectively Port Edwards Village President, Wisconsin Rapids School Board, Port Edwards School Board, and Town of Rome Supervisor, all individually going out for these nominees for or candidates for these particular positions. You can check that. You can check out that interview today, those interviews today from 5 to 6. We'll have that for you, and we will continue. We have a couple of more interviews lined up. We have Pam did an amazing job sending out messages to all these candidates, and everybody that wanted to join us, we're working out making sure that they can.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for all the efforts in doing this, James, and helping inform our listeners before voting on Tuesday, April 1st, because these are important races. You know, our local politics affect us far more than the national ones on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And we've got an opportunity for you to be a superhero out there. You don't need a cape or a tragic backstory or having to try to come up with a catchphrase or something. You can be a superhero just by donating blood. We've got an opportunity for you in just about 5 minutes from 10 to 3 today over at the Wisconsin Rapids former East Junior High School Music Room at 111-311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Head on over there between now and 3 o'clock and donate if you can. We greatly appreciate all of you doing that.
Absolutely. You can save 3 lives in a short amount of time.
I want to also remind everybody that our friends over at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin have their Dementia Basics class happening today from 3 to 4. This is a great opportunity to learn more about the basics, introduction to dementia for individuals, family, and caregivers.
That's helpful.
Very, very helpful. And a big thank you to the ADRC for doing something like this. I actually talked to my parents about this, and both of them and our family dealt with this quite a bit and would have loved to have had something like this. It's great and very encouraging that they have a program like this.
Yeah, and it also connects you with other people who are maybe going through that or have that in their family, and that's a great support system to have to lean on.
Mm-hmm. Topic Tuesday presentations are about an hour in length and will be held at the Wisconsin Rapids ADRC office. You can at 220 3rd Avenue South. You can find out more by going to adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Also wanted to get to some good stories of the day. We got some big ones going on around the world, like a Peruvian fisherman was rescued last week after he survived 95 days lost at sea.
95 days. Whoa.
That is just incredible. Like, just let that sit there for a second.
Yeah, like over 3 months lost at sea.
And an amazing name, Maximo Napa. Maximo Napa. And he's 61. And he's 61 and survived these 95 days. He got pretty emotional when he got back to dry land the other night. He said, thinking about his mom and 2-month-old granddaughter kept him going. He survived on rainwater and eating birds, turtles, all kinds of things. He hadn't eaten anything in 15 days before a patrol boat out of Ecuador found him last Wednesday. He's been gone since December 7th and was 680 miles from shore.
Oh, my goodness. And now that grandbaby's 5 months old.
Yeah, yeah. That does make me, I didn't plan on this, but just, improvising here for a second, that does remind me as well about a story locally here that where we had one of our local residents found by a drone, thankful for that, and thankful that happened and everything.
Yeah.
The first brown bear to have brain surgery is doing well. His name is Boki. A zoo in England did it back in October after vets found a buildup of fluid. It was right at before he went into hibernation. So that is kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah.
They had to make a decision if they were going to do the surgery quick, and they had to get it done quick because once he's in hibernation, there ain't no messing with him.
Right. No, you can't touch him then.
I wouldn't have thought of that before, but that's interesting. And a company in Las Vegas helped rescue a young cat stranded on the side of an overpass for 3 weeks. Helix Electric hires out electronics. The CEO's daughter got him to send a boom lift to get someone up high enough to grab the kitten or the cat. Aww. They used two nets to catch the cat and got him to a vet. He was dehydrated and very thin, but otherwise is doing good.
Wow.
They paid tribute to the company by naming him Helix.
Oh, that's really cute.
That's pretty good. That's well played. That's very well played.
And I just got to throw out there, too, a local good story. The Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department just rescued a cat out of a tree here this week. Was up. They had to get out their ladder truck and go up. I think it was like 65 feet up in the tree to rescue a local cat.
That's pretty darn cool. That is.
You know, we always make jokes about firefighters and cats and rescuing cats, but it does really happen.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
We need them for that. We appreciate all the work they do.
They're standing around looking at each other like, I hope this isn't a stereotype. I hope this
is. Is this a joke?
Whether it is that or it's a dog rescued from an Ohio River in Pittsburgh, or how many times we've done stories about deer being stuck in the middle of a lake or a pond or something.
Yeah.
Just a big thank you to all the rescue workers out there and all the people helping our furry friends and our
caring
people.
For our planet.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate you. Appreciate you, Melissa. Nice work today.
You too, James.
Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is expected to get on the phone with Russia's Vladimir Putin soon to talk about winding down the war in Ukraine. CBS's Natalie Brand on Mr. Trump's outlook.
He expressed optimism, and he also signaled that concessions over land and power plants is expected to come up on the call.
Palestinian officials say hundreds have been killed in Israeli airstrikes on Hamas targets across Gaza. Israel blames the militant group for a lack of movement on hostage release talks. This man in Tel Aviv is expressing dismay.
I have no idea what is going to happen to the remaining hostages if the fighting keeps on going.
The parents of a missing 20-year-old University of Pittsburgh student making a new request. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in Punta Cana.
They're asking authorities here in the Dominican Republic that she be declared legally dead, given that the person last seen with her has been cooperating.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.